Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NA Chile Q2 and first half 2021 results conference call. My name is Felita, and I will be your conference operator today. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risk and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors are described in NA Chile's press release reporting in Q2 and first half 2021 results, the presentation accompanying this conference call, and NA Chile annual report on Form 20-F, including under risk factors. You may access our Q2 and first half 2021 results press release and presentation on our website, www.na.cl, and our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their dates. NA Chile undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or disclose any development as a result of which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mrs. Isabella Climbs, Head of Investor Relations of NA Chile. Please proceed.
Thank you, Felita. Buenos días, good morning, and welcome to NA Chile's second half 2021 results presentation. Thanks to you all for joining us today. I am Isabella Climbs, the Head of Investor Relations. Let me remind you that our presentation and related financial information are available on our website, www.nal.cl, in the investor sections and in our app, Investors. In the final of the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions via phone or chat through the link Ask a Question. Joining me this morning, our CEO, Paulo Paolotti, and our CFO, Giuseppe Turchiarelli. In the following slides, Paulo will open the presentation with the main highlights on strategy and operation performance. Giuseppe will walk you through our financial results. A replay of the call will also be available, and always, our IR team will continue to be available to provide you with any detailed information you may need concerning the figures included in this presentation. Let me also remind you that media participants are connected only in listening mode. Thank you all for your attention, and now let me hand over to Paulo. Paulo?
Thank you, Isabella. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. NA Chile is consolidating its leading position in renewables and is driving the energy transition. We are conscious about the importance of those advances in the energy transition in a country like Chile, where resources and technology may support the implementation of a true path towards the fight to climate change and the expansion of the use of electricity in the industry, in the cities, at home, transforming the client, the citizen, quality of life. This is an effort with multiple benefits that also requires a quick reaction by the several authorities involved to truly understand and support those changes. During this quarter, we are advancing the construction of more than 1.2 GW of renewable capacity in seven projects that are part of the 2.4 GW additional renewables that we will add during the 2021-2023 period. As you will see in the results slides presented by Giuseppe, our 2021 half results have been impacted by non-structural elements like lack of gas availability and commodities hiking prices. Looking at sustainability commitment, recently, we have been included for the first time in the Standard & Poor's IPSA ESG titled Index. Launched early this year by Santiago Stock Exchange, the Standard & Poor's IPSA ESG titled Index, Enel Chile is now one of the 27 companies added and the first with local operation on this index, with the rebalancing executed during July 21. Also, I would like to highlight the new FTSE Russell score for our company, recently announced. We have been achieved 4.0 points of a total of 5.0 versus 3.4 in the previous year. These recognitions reflect our sustainability strategy and our commitment towards just energy transition. We are growing along our strategy together with our clients' energy requirements. In addition to supply electricity via our retail operations, Enel X has signed several agreements with the private sector, mainly mining companies as a starting point, and then service companies, to promote electric mobility and energy efficiency solutions. Additionally, we continue to support the decontamination of the cities, participating in the implementation of several programs to push on the adoption of electric heating system in exchange for more contaminating ones. Finally, consistent with our strategy, we have signed an agreement with Banco Santander for our first SDG link instrument. This loan is linked directly to tackle the climate action, the SDG 13, and is related to the reduction of our direct CO2 emissions by 2023. Enel Chile is the first local utility in securing this kind of instrument linked to a United Nations SDGs. Now, on our capacity under construction, page number 4. Let me give you some update on our project under construction, as important pillar for our positioning in the market and for the implementation of the energy transition. As already commented with you, the last 12-15 months have been quite complex in managing the construction of the new plant. The effects of the pandemic, causing lockdown restriction and closure of the country's borders, jointly with the initial delays on archaeological permits caused by bureaucracy and lack of personnel, require in some cases reschedules of our project timeline. Notwithstanding the above, we have continued to advance on constructing our renewable portfolio. As you can see in the chart, considering the capacity under construction, by the end of this year, we will put in operation a significant percentage of that amount. Let's move to slide number 5. Today, our clients are requiring our support to be provided with an aggregate of services related to the use of the green energy and to the decontamination of their activities. We have signed different partnerships and agreements to promote sustainable transportation and, more in general, innovative services in the use of the energy. A recent example is the agreement with Falabella Group, one of the largest retailers in Latin America. After a private tender, Enel has been awarded to sell energy to their operations and, at the same time, to incorporate more than 500 electric charging points through the country. With those agreements, we are providing a complete solution to our clients, coping with their path to decarbonization. At the same time, we have increased Enel X market share and enhanced its leadership in the energy efficiency and electromobility in the country. Finally, in line of contributing to the development of smart cities, with Enel X, again, we have developed security projects like monitoring and visual surveillance. This kind of project includes security cameras, automatic reading gantries of car patent, and laying of optical fiber that integrates it. Today, we will have more than 1,200 security cameras installed in Chile, complementing the plans of citizen security and contribute to preventing crimes and road infractions. Customers are becoming more aware of the sustainability and the efficient use of the energy. Enel X is our client's first choice and agent of change. now on page number 6. With reference to our network, during the second quarter, we have seen a partial recovery in the energy demand compared to the previous period. As a result, the aggregated energy distribution reached 7.9 terawatt hour, increasing 2% versus last year's period. We have increased the quality of our service and reduced our distribution loss rate from 5.21% to 5%, despite all the challenges we are facing. With reference to our actions towards the digitization of our processes, Enel Distribution app reached more than 494,000 downloads, 30% higher than June 2020 cumulative figures. Our digital interaction had increased to 86% from 75% in the same period of the last year. On the regulatory side, the final report on the distribution reference model shall be published in the following weeks, and the following regulatory report is expected to be issued by November 21. As we have mentioned, any discrepancy between regulators and companies' positions can be challenged in the expert panel instance. We expect that the regulator will release the final distribution tariff decree during 2022. Regarding transmission tariff cycle 2020-2023, the regulator's report fixing the new tariff cycle will be published during the next weeks. It could be challenged in the expert panel instance depending on the results of the several comments presented by different companies during the evaluation phase. We are expecting that the transmission tariff decree to be published at the end of this year or very early 2022. On slide number 7, the application of the basic service law is affecting the level of overdue debt. We are continuing to push in providing alternatives of payment to our clients and to promote the adoption of payment agreements. By June 21, we have finalized more than 62,000 payment agreements, of which 50% correspond to basic service law and the other half corresponds to voluntary agreements promoted by Enel Chile. Due to our effort, our collection level remains stable, with a slight improvement in second quarter 21. As of the end of June, the net overdue debt reached $186 million, representing more than 543,000 clients, 20% increase versus last year. On a monthly basis, we have factorized around $32 million, supporting part of our liquidity in the period. In our view, as already commented with you, the level of overdue accounts is going to materially increase during the next months and will not be sustainable in the long term for the most vulnerable families once the condition of payments will come to normality. In that sense, a solution involving the state is crucial in this process. Now I will hand over to Giuseppe. Giuseppe, it's your turn.
Thanks, Paolo. Let me start with a summary of our financial highlights on slide 9, which we will go through detail in the following slide. But before starting with the presentation, let me explain the extraordinary effect of the period. For the first half of 2021, we have adjusted the EBITDA and the net income considering the effect arising from the coal stock impairment associated to Bocamina 2 and the voluntary retirement program that the company has offered to the employees, which were nearly to the retirement age. The coal stock impairment and the voluntary retirement program had an aggregate effect of $46 million in the first half 2021 EBITDA and $31 million at the bottom line. In the second quarter, this effect amounted to $31 million in the EBITDA and $21 million in the group net income. For previous year, we have adjusted the figures by the coal stock impairment of $17 million in EBITDA and the net effect of the impairment of Bocamina 2 of $672 million at the bottom line. All the details are described in the bottom of the slide. Now, let's start with our CapEx allocation, out of which 96% is linked to the SDG on slide 10. First half 2021 CapEx reached $510 million, mainly devoted to the construction of the new renewable capacity. Customer CapEx was mainly allocated to the build new connection, reaching a total of $33 million, with an increase of 13% versus last year. Asset management CapEx reached $62 million, 45% higher than first half 2020, mainly due to the higher maintenance activity in distribution, higher maintenance work in our no-coal thermal facility, and digitalization projects. Development CapEx reached almost $415 million, $123 million higher than first half 2020, largely driven by our renewable expansion and development of our distribution business to continue the digitalization of our network. Let's now start with the second Q adjustment EBITDA breakdown on slide 11, that accounted $233 million, 22% lower versus 2020 figures, mainly due to a seasonal recovery of hydrology in our basin allowed us to increase our hydro generation of 0.3 terawatt-hour, or 23% versus the second Q 2020 figures. The continuity of the lack of gas in the system and the increase of international market price has maintained very high spot price in comparison with 2020 second Q, and consequently increase the cost of energy purchases, particularly during the no-solar time required to supply our PPA. Negative PPA margin effect is mainly associated to the appreciation of Chilean peso in 2021 versus 2020, considering that our book currency is in Chilean pesos and our PPA are U.S. denominated. This effect was offset by the new agreement started in 2021 as Anglo-American and the new contract coming from Enel Distribution free market portfolio at the beginning of the year, and the PPI price update mainly by the CPI indexation, and the higher prices of our regulated PPA due to the commodities and CPI indexation. The net commodity coverage resulted in a positive effect into the EBITDA due to the higher commodity price in the market in line with our hedging strategy. A negative effect of the tariff settlement due to a tariff harmonization in 2020 related to the recovery of supply costs in the regulated PPA and the settlement made in distribution business in second Q 2021. The network business variances are coming from a recovery of the second Q 2021 demand, mainly in regulated customers due to the flexibility on the lockdown measures in the step-by-step government plan, provisions on lower remuneration on distribution tariffs, which shall be retroactive to November 2020, and in lower remuneration on the transmission tariff as a result of the devaluation of steel and iron versus previous tariff cycle. Other effects account for $15 million, mainly related to our headquarter insurance recovery received during 2020, Trans-Santiago 3 agreement executed also in 2020, public lighting contract celebrating during second Q 2020, and additional insurance costs on renewable. Let's move on to slide 12, where we have the summary of first half adjusted EBITDA breakdown, accounting for $454 million, 20% lower versus 2020 figures. As you can see, the main effects are the same that we presented in the second quarter. $58 million related to commodity availability and higher commodity price, negative PPA margin effect mainly associated with the negative variance coming from depreciation of Chilean pesos in the period versus first half 2020, considering again that our book currency is in Chilean pesos and our PPA are U.S. denominated. This effect was offset by the new agreement starting the period as Anglo American new contract coming from Enel Distribution free customer portfolio at the beginning of the year. A positive $56 million on the net commodity coverage, the already mentioned $26 million on tariff settlement in both generation and distribution, a negative $18 million on network remuneration related to the expected lower distribution tariff and transmission tariff. Others accounted for $8 million, mainly due to our headquarter insurance recovery received last year and Transantiago III agreement executed also in 2020. Let me now give you more detail about the main generation KPI on page 13. Even though our first semester generation has been affected by a poor hydrology in the country, during the second quarter, especially in June, there was a slight improvement in rainfall, which enabled an increase in our hydro generation as well as in our total production when compared to the same period of the last year. Therefore, our second quarter production reached 4.7 terawatt-hour, increasing 10% versus 2020. In the year, our production reached 9.2 terawatt-hour, very similar versus last year and also supported by thermal generation. Our energy sales increased 18% during the first half of 2021, primarily explained by new contracts with free customers, including Anglo American, and retail clients transferred from Enel Distribution Chile as part of unbundling regulation requirements. For what concerns our sourcing, on top of the already mentioned production variances, during the first half of 2021, we accounted a total increase of 1.8 terawatt-hours of purchases, which includes 0.7 on the spot market and 1.1 terawatt-hour from other generators related to the unregulated customer portfolio contract coming from Enel Distribution business. On slide 14, just a recap of the performance of our generation business, including Enel Generación Chile and Enel Green Power Chile, which is largely explained by unfavorable hydrology, higher commodity price, and higher spot market price when compared to the last year. EBITDA has been adjusted by excluding the extraordinary effect on the coal consumption costs related to the decarbonization process and the voluntary retirement program. And finally, on slide 15, I show a summary of the adjusted performance of our network business, including Enel Distribución Chile and Enel Transmisión Chile. The second Q 2021 reached $35 million, decreasing 27% regarding the second Q 2020, mainly due to the lower regulated remuneration in both distribution and transmission business, tariff settlement booked in second Q 2021 related to 2020 tariff period, free market clients transferred to the generation business to accomplish the unbundling law, partially offset by higher volume, accumulated adjusted EBITDA reached $71 million, or 34% compared with the first half 2020 EBITDA, mainly due to the lower demand in the regulated market and the provision of the new tariff in distribution and transmission. Free market clients transfer to generation business to accomplish the unbundling law. And finally, union agreement, a one-off impact booked in the first quarter of 2021. Now, on slide 16, let's go through the main driver of our group net income. D&A and bad debt reached $151 million, a variance of $37 million, mainly related to the lower D&A in Enel Generación due to the impairment made in Boccamina 2 in 2020, and lower D&A in EGP asset due to depreciation of Chilean pesos in the period. Net financial results totaled an expense of $129 million, an increase of $45 million, mainly due to higher cost due to the factoring executed in generation business on the stabilization mechanism account, higher costs regarding the new debt issued during 2020, higher exchange differences, mainly in account receivable of stabilization mechanism in generation business. This effect was partially offset by the higher financial expense capitalized in first half 2021. Income tax reflects the impact related to the lower EBITDA and the higher financial expense due to the factoring cost of bank accounts. As a result, the adjusted first half 2021 net income reached $119 million, 45% lower than last year figures. The adjusted second quarter 2021 net income reached $48 million, 59% lower than the second Q 2020 results. This was mainly explained by the lower EBITDA results in the quarter for the reason mentioned in the previous slide, lower D&A mainly related to the lower D&A in Enel Generación due to the impairment made in Boccamina 2 in 2020, increase of $29 million in financial results, mainly explained by the factoring executed in the second quarter of generation business. Lower income tax, mainly due to lower adjusted EBITDA, the higher financial expense as a consequence of factoring cost of the bank account in the quarter, merged effect of Enel Green Power Group, and lower taxes accounted in the previous year. Moving to the cash flow on slide 17. First half 2021 FFO reached $272 million, higher than previous year figures, mostly due to higher net working capital versus 2020, mainly explained by factoring in both generation and distribution business accounted for almost $300 million. A transmission line sale in 2021 with a cash impact of $29 million, purchases of e-buses during first quarter of last year, and lower impact of stabilization price mechanism in 2021 versus 2020 due to depreciation of Chilean pesos. These effects were offset by higher income tax during first half 2021 versus last year, mainly related to COVID-19 measure during 2020 that postponed part of the corporate tax payment to 2021, and lower fiscal tax payment base during 2020, and higher financial expense, mainly explained by the cost of the factoring of the stabilization mechanism account. Let me now go through our debt on slide 18. Our gross debt increased by $405 million versus December 2020, amounting to $4.4 billion as of June 2021. The variance is mainly associated with our CapEx plan execution. In the period, we have executed a $400 million funding with EIFI, partially offset by the amortization of the Enel Generación Chile 11. Therefore, our net debt in the period increased $414 million. The average cost of our debt in the period remains stable at 4.6% as of June 2021. As Paolo highlighted, we are focusing now on sustainable ESG-linked instruments. We just issued our first ESG-linked third-party debt of $50 million with Banco Santander, with a maturity of 3 years, with a very competitive interest rate, demonstrating the recognition of our de-risking strategy. The new SDG loan consider as KPI the CO2 emission of our generation fleet by 2023. As of June, around $400 million of our debt are SDG linked. We consider $400 million of intercompany SDG linked debt issue as of June 2021. These figures do not consider the $50 million signed in July with Santander. In terms of debt amortization, our schedule remained very smooth with an average of 6 years and around $300 million annually maturing up to December 23. In terms of liquidity, we maintained the level of $0.8 billion, giving us flexibility to face potential headwinds in the market. And now, on page 19, let me conclude this part of the presentation with the guidance updates driven by the recent events already discussed. As usual, the number are net of cold stock and retirement plan. During our presentation, we have highlighted the main factor that stand up in the last month. We changed our scenario for this year, particularly the complex hydrological scenario, commodity availability, especially lack of Argentinian natural gas, and hiking of commodity price, which is clearly not a structural effect in our market. To be transferred with our investor and all the interest parts, we have run several scenarios to reflect the evolution of some variables, driving us to predict a second half adjusted EBITDA in a range between $0.6 and $0.7 million. Consequently, our EBITDA should be in a range of $1.1 to $1.2 billion for 2021, a devaluation from $300 to $400 million versus our guidance reported in November 2020. We are not yet anticipating our view on the net income result, as we are running several actions to offset at most the devaluation of our EBITDA. On CAPEX, we don't see important deviation, as the larger part of our development CAPEX is expected to be deployed now on the second half of this year. Let me remind again that this adjustment is not a structural one, as a part of the negative headwinds that all the utilities are facing this year. We strongly believe that our strategy of increasing renewable capacity will reduce significantly the exposure to commodity and hydro in the following years. Paolo, I will hand over to you for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Implementation of our investment plan and execution of our renewable growth project will continue to be one of our priorities and necessary to support the country on the acceleration of the decarbonization. In this sense, some important discussion need to evolve with the authority, as regulation for battery, for instance. Our strategy will continue to be deployed under the highest ESG standards towards the decarbonization and energy transition for the full benefit of our clients and communities. Digital operations and customer care will be key to develop a long-term relation with our clients. Our strategy is supported by our long-term vision and balance sheet strength, targeting new SDG link instruments. Thank you for your attention, and let's now open the Q&A section. I will hand over to Isabella.
Thank you, Paolo. So, the operator, do we have questions?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star 1 to ask a question.
Okay, perfect. So I received here from the chat questions from Murilo Ritini from Santander. So the first question from Murilo, Paolo Giuseppe, is how do you evaluate the expansion of the transmission system? Will this be enough for the relevant incorporation of renewable capacity in our point of view, in your point of view? Or could we expect a higher level of losses due to congestions? How do you plan to handle this issue? So I think we could answer this, and then I go for the others, Paolo and Giuseppe.
Hi, Murillo. Thank you for your question. Regarding the extension of transmission system, the connection between the north and especially the center, that is the area of main consumption, is always interesting, a large debate between the different players, different actors in the sector. Now there is this project for improving the connection using high voltage DC connection. Clearly, it is a very impacting project in the sense that it will require times. So there are two elements to take into consideration. The full commitment of all the parties involved in speeding up this interconnection system, that is key for Chile, for sure. And second, I can mention also our reactions in the sense that we are, let's say, defining our portfolio of plants and also of clients in order to avoid to be, let's say, tackled by these bottleneck, in the sense that we have important contracts in the north. We are still developing our potential contract in the same area. At the same time, we are also developing interesting position in the center. So that's the way in which we can cope in the short midterm. But I agree with you that is key. Honestly, I think that being so essential in the evolution of the country, this kind of interconnection, it will evolve positively. Don't ask me to bet about the right year to enter into operation, because it could be hard to answer. But I'm positive on the attention of the authority on this. At the same time, we as a company, we are trying to have a countermeasure in order to avoid to be hit by a certain element of bottleneck.
Okay, thank you, Paulo. The second question from Murillo is, how are you seeing the performance of the demand in the concession area of Enel Distribución in July? Any signs of recovery with the low restriction measures?
We are evaluating clearly a period of 6 months. If we focus on the very recent months, the effects, the negative effect of having the Santiago metropolitan region in lockdown, and so many of the of our clients, I'm referring to the commercial sites, to small clients, been strongly affected. So all in all, what we see, a recovery in the last 1 month and a half, even if it's early to provide you a figure. At the same time, we have a general evaluation in terms of consumptions in the concession area in the first 6 months compared to the first 6 months of last year, with a slightly decrease, but you are taking into consideration also perimeter effect, in the sense that continue to be a movement, even if not so big, of clients that are entitled to move from the regulated system into free market, that are, let's say, choosing to be free, to be out of the regulated system. And this has an impact in the regulated segment. If you look at that specific area, there is, all in all, a decrease between 2 and 3%, all in all, considering all the effects that I mentioned, so the perimeter effect and the lockdown that suffers Santiago in the central area of the period between March and mid of June.
Perfect. Thank you, Paulo. And the last question from Murilo from Santander is, why is the number of overdue clients decreasing versus first half 2020? Could you provide more details on this and on the discussions being held to the lower house, please?
Okay. This is a little bit large discussion because from one side, what we have measured, considering, let's focus for a second on the domestic segment that is the most affected by the recent regulations started in August 2020. If we measure that segment, we have not seen a very improvement in terms of number of clients that are not paying. But let's say the mechanism that we have seen is that the clients that during the irregular period of the year used to, let's say, enter into the overdue debt segment and then start to pay in a period of, let's say, aging between 40 and 60 days, because this is the area where the cut will enter into, the cutoff will enter into pressure by the distribution. In this case, that amount, that client are not paying. So they remain in the segment of overdue, but their aging are increasing. And this is happening also for, unfortunately, and this is something that we have, announced to the press, this is something also to large domestic clients with the consumptions higher than 1,000 kilowatt hour per month. It means approximately four times the average of Santiago, but also for clients between, 500, 700 kilowatt hour per month that they are not paying. If we look at that numbers, for instance, the large client segment, the overdue debt or large client segment, more than double between March 20 and June 21. So there is an effect that is driven by the impossibility for a distributor to, cut off the non-vulnerable clients, because we are talking about non-vulnerable clients. Clearly, all the attentions, all the care for the family that cannot afford to pay their debts. But this is a different discussion. The focus and also our analysis is focused on that category of clients that has high consumption, resources to pay, but are not paying because nobody can cut them off. And this is an important element in discussion that we're having with the authority. On a general basis, there has been this announcement in early June, if I remember correctly, regarding a famous negotiation table between different parties involved, the government and the Senate, where to find a solution that should help the vulnerable families, the vulnerable client, to afford the period once the system will come to normality. That's the real issue, because if we look at today vulnerable clients, the average debt, just using a number that we have, is in the range of 100,000 pesos, Chilean pesos. If we add this on top of the regular fare that they are paying on a monthly basis, this is very difficult to be managed. Also, if we use a 48 quotas without interest, so this is where we have to focus and leave the distributors work with clients that can pay but they do not.
Perfect, thank you, Paolo. And so I don't know, operator, if you have any questions online. Otherwise, I have one from Rodrigo Mora from Moneda. I can do it now.
There is a question on the phone line.
Yes. Can you open the line, please?
Okay, the question comes from the line of Rodrigo.
Sorry. Rodrigo has sent me the questions. He has a problem on the line. So the first question on Rodrigo, the first one is that given the drought situation in the country, is SENER evaluating to postpone the closure of Boca Mina 2 in order to preserve the electrical security of the system? This is the first question, Paolo and Giuseppe.
Yeah. Hi, Rodrigo. Clearly, as already Giuseppe highlighted in his analysis, we are not dealing with structural changes. So this what happened this year is something that is a coincidence of different elements that didn't happen in the past. So we do not see, let's say, any reason or the effect for change our strategy and our decision to, let's say, come back now on the phase out of Boca Mina, considering that by next year, at least 1.3 plus more megawatts will come online only by our side. If we look at the general picture, the effect and the evolution of this year has been driven also by important delay on many other projects, renewable projects that should cover in the short midterm the energy requirements of the system, of the country. The important point here is to allow the system to work properly. For instance, us together with also other companies, because this was we heard, we are focusing on the development of the regulation of the storage that will be key for a proper functioning of the system. And this, we hope, is something that will take place during the second half of this year in order to be properly in place. Am I referring to both the ancillary services package system and to recognition of the capacity payment in order to allow to enter into the system with renewables plus storage and to fulfill all the requirements of the system.
Perfect, Paolo, thank you. So the second question of Rodrigo from Moneda is, which is the hydro generation that you are estimating for the second half of the year, considering the guidance updated released by the company today?
Yes, on this I will the answer to Giuseppe that can be more precise in terms of number. In terms of concept, you know, Rodrigo, how difficult it is to make some, let's say, prediction in terms of what of hydrology. It happened a couple of years ago that after the first 6 months of drought period, we have a very important storms that cover all the requirements from during the second half. So it's quite difficult to predict what can happen, especially the second half where you should have let's say, potential snow, still potential snow, has happened at the time, and then the melting of the snow and the ice. So it's very difficult, but I leave it, Giuseppe, to give you some feeling on numbers.
Yeah, well, basically we are projecting to have around 6.6 terawatt-hours, so in order to close the year, around 10.4 terawatt-hours. So this is the projection that we have right now.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Then the next question from Rodrigo. Rodrigo is asking more details about the extraordinary effects that we booked during this period. So he's asking more details about the impact of $46 million and if we can give a breakdown on the voluntary retirement program that we announced for the group Enel Chile in this period. Thank you.
Well, I'll leave Giuseppe the answer. Yeah.
Yeah. So the $46 million we can split in two parts. The first one that is around $21 million that is related to the decarbonization effect. And the remaining part is around $24 million. Is related to the retirement plan, where if you want to have an additional breakdown, this $24 million is 50% in Enel Distribución, $9 million for Enel Generación, and around $3 million for Enel Chile, the holding. So this is basically the breakdown that we have.
Okay, thank you, Giuseppe. So, operator, do you have any more questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay, then. So, as we do not have any more questions here, we would like to thank you, then, your presence in our call today and mention that our team from Investor Relations will be available for any other questions or doubt that you may have during this period. So, many thanks for your attention. Thanks, Paolo and Giuseppe. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.